All right, and while you decide about that one, here's something that's on our radar as well. It's self-harm, teenagers hurting themselves to regulate emotions. And it seems to be, Evangeli, I'm not sure about you, but in my day when I was at school, we didn't have the same sort of thing where kids would cut themselves. You'd get a sharpener, you'd take the blade off, and you'd actually cut your arm. And it seems to be indicative of something else that's going on in their lives. It could be a very unhappy home life, problems at school. Did you have that?
I never experienced that. In fact, I barely saw it. But I remember when I was in matric, there is a girl who was dumped by someone. And of course, the relationship ended and she was hurt, I presume. So she went into the girl's bathroom, broke a mirror, and she slit her wrists. I presume she was trying to commit suicide. So that was the first time. I mean, in my whole schooling career, I never saw it, but we saw it quite late and they had to call the whole school together so that they take us through. We needed a bit of counseling because even though it didn't happen to us, it can affect us.
Yeah. It's a big topic. I remember at my daughter's school as well, there were some youngsters who were cutting themselves and it's just very worrying and you don't want it to escalate to somebody taking their own life. Well, on the line is a member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists, Dr. Terry Henderson. Hi, Dr. Henderson. Welcome to 702.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Right, talking to self-harm, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. What are you seeing among youngsters?
Okay, so in terms of getting worse and worse, it might just be that we're more and more aware of it. So we see self-harm. So teenagers, I think what you've described is that teens will use self-harm as a coping mechanism to manage very overwhelming feelings or a lot of distress. It's quite a difficult concept to get your head around. If you're working with teens, you're quite familiar with it, but if you're not, it seems like quite a frightening concept. But essentially what is happening is that teens will use, self-harm is the most common form would be superficial cutting, something that you've mentioned, and that is superficial cuts to the inner side of the forearm, and it's often using a blade or a pair of scissors. And it's difficult for people to understand that why is hurting myself a form of relief? But what teens actually experience with it is that it becomes a way of managing their emotional distress. And it's almost that if I can see the pain, it's physical evidence of what I'm feeling. And often cutting creates a release of tension, helps kids to focus away from their distress and to sometimes get a sense of control from it, that they can manage their emotions. So it's a coping mechanism, and obviously not one we want to encourage, but it does mean that there is definitely a need for some intervention.
If a parent does see this, and you talk about a need for an intervention, if a parent does see this, what should the parent do?
Okay, so I think most parents will probably have to manage their responses because I think it's quite frightening to come across this. Important to note that teens will hide it. So most teens will go to great lengths to make sure that nobody does see this. If you do come across it as a parent, I think firstly, knowing that this is something that is very much teen behavior will help you not to overreact. But I think the immediate response is to realize that your teen is battling. And that some sort of intervention is needed. I think important for parents to realize that they're not in a position to fix this situation and definitely not to react negatively or want to punish their teen for that behavior. It's a cry for help that should never, ever be ignored.
Should you perhaps then take your child to a psychologist? Many children would think, I don't want to go to a psychologist. I'm not the problem, mom or dad. You're the problem.
No, surprisingly, if teens are really battling and you give them the option of getting help, they will often take it. And I think a teen who's self-harming is a teen who is in need of help. And often when you give them the option, they will actually go for it. And important thing is that the parents are not, stepping in and say, you need to talk to me, you need to talk to me. You're suggesting that let's get somebody else involved that you could talk to. So self-harm has happened maybe once or twice, and that teen is functioning reasonably well. it would be fine for a GP to just do an assessment and see where they are in terms of their general mental health, and then maybe some supportive counselling, two to three sessions, that would be fine.
Yeah.
If it's more severe than that, or has been going on for a longer period of time, or there are, obviously self-harm doesn't happen on its own, it happens in the context of mental health distress, then, you know, a psychologist should be involved, and depending on the severity of things, possibly other clinicians like psychiatrists.
Yeah, help. Speaking about depression, now, you're a youngster and your hormones are raging. You're going into a situation at school that you may be battling with. You may even be going to varsity. But you also have the depression factor. How widespread is depression amongst youngsters? And we just don't realize it. You know, we say, oh, that person's in a bad mood. But they're not. They're suffering from depression.
Okay, I mean, so that's a good point that you raised. Look, the incidence of mental health issues in teens is high. It's around 60%. And it's important to distinguish what people describe as sort of normal teen hormonal issues versus what is actually becoming a mental health problem like depression. The difference is that a teen is sort of battling with teen hormonal issues is functioning well in other aspects. The teen who's developing, possibly developing depression, is not functioning well in other aspects. So in terms of interaction with family and friends and schoolwork, maybe isolating a lot more than usual, that is when we're sort of moving into depression territory, and that would require a different intervention.
Yeah.
I often get, you know, one of the big things is getting people and lay society and parents to understand that mental health definitely exists in teenagers. And so often parents will say to me, but isn't this just normal teen hormonal stuff? And often it's no, it's not. And the distinction there is mood fluctuations, but functioning.
Yeah. But we also, as well, Dr. Henderson, we get parents who go, my child's got ADHD, therefore my child should have a drug. Are we too quick to diagnose that, thinking, okay, a drug will fix everything?
Well, are you talking about ADHD or
ADHD? Because sometimes you think you look at a child whose attention isn't there, but that can also affect their moods because they're quite frustrated. Are we very quick to basically go and seek drugs for our children just to calm them down, just to cheer them up?
No, well, look, we don't medicate. We medicate when there are disorders present. So in other words, full and thorough assessment is done before we medicate kids. So nobody is going to be medicated unless they have a diagnosed attention deficit disorder. So I think the important thing is that this needs a proper assessment. We don't medicate children or teens without a proper assessment. And there is a way of doing that. So particularly with ADHD. So an assessment needs to be done either by a pediatrician or a GP who's experienced. And we don't throw medication at the problem. I think, you know, if you have ADHD, medication is helpful and there's certainly a role for it. But I certainly hope it's not being thrown out without proper assessment.
Just to wrap up our conversation, we've got a WhatsApp from Anonymous. It reads like this. I used to cut myself, and I remember also burning myself with a matchstick when I was a teenager. And my mother's response was simply, oh, you're just an attention seeker. What would you say to that?
Well, I'm really glad that person has sent in that comment. It's absolutely correct. So as parents, possibly the worst thing you can do is to minimize what a teen's distress. So burning is another form of self-harm. So for this person, for a parent to minimize that or to brush it off is possibly the worst thing that a parent can do, because it invalidates that teen's difficulties. It also tells that teen, I'm not going to take you seriously, or you need to sort yourself out. And those are the worst messages that you can give to your teen. So I'm very glad she said that, because that's an excellent point to raise. And that was obviously really hurtful for her. And that's a good guideline for parents maybe listening, do not invalidate when your teen raises issues or obviously needs help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great conversation this afternoon. Dr. Terry Henderson, member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. Thank you so much for coming on to 702. And of course, we're going to podcast that interview. So if you're just joining us now talking about self-harm in teenagers, just go to 702.co.za.